Welcome to Faith Renewed, a ministry of Faith Recovery Fellowship right here in Alaska. We believe that knowing Jesus as Lord is the most important decision anyone can make. And our mission is to share the true gospel with everyone. Join us today as Pastor Gus shares today's sermon, bringing a message of hope, restoration, and new life through Jesus Christ. Our prayer is that you would come to know the Lord Jesus Christ personally and experience the freedom and true salvation that's found in Him. You can learn more about our church ministries by visiting us online at faithrecoveryfellowship.org. God is good. Jesus saves, and lives are changed when we surrender our lives to Him. Amen. Let's listen in now as part two is already in progress. But recognize, like we saw here in John 15, is that it's not that they hate you. They hated Christ first. And so the name that you're proclaiming is the problem that they have. And so what Christ is encouraging us is that we need to just be faithful. We need to know that persecution will come. Whether that just be how we live our lifestyle or whether we're proclaiming the word of God, there will be persecution from people and from the world. If you think about it right now and you look at Nigeria, for example, there's, without getting into the politics of it, there are tons of Christians that are being persecuted in the country of Nigeria and killed for being followers of Christ. We've seen this all through history about people being martyred for their faith, being killed because they were unwilling to deny their faith publicly and that they wouldn't convert to another religion. So that should be encouragement for us that other people have also faced these types of challenges that we face in today's world. That should be, you know, comforting for us to know that there are others that have come before us. So society will sometimes confuse good and evil. And so we have to make a point here and say that sometimes the perception is that people believe they're doing something that's right. They're being a good person. But at the same time, they could be promoting something that is against what the scripture says. And so in Isaiah 5, verse 20, it says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness, who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." Again, not diving into the politics behind it, there are times in the world that we see this in social media, on the news, on like really obvious public platforms where people are promoting things that are not biblical and that go against scripture. The world will call evil good. And so we have to be aware of that and understand that sometimes we have to stand tall in our convictions and we have to be prepared to share what the scripture says about that particular issue and be confident that what you're saying is truthful and aligned with your beliefs and that you can back it up with the word of God. But you have to be brave enough to stand up to people when that persecution comes, because a lot of times it's very hard for people to face that type of conflict. And so they will make exceptions. They will be, you know, maybe make some concessions in their faith. You know, oh, well, maybe I can just, you know, maybe I can just go the other way on this issue and everything will be fine. I don't want to upset people. So you have to be firm in this. Scripture tells us it will happen, but we need to be able to pick up our cross. We need to be able to stand tall and be willing to stand on the word of God and that that is the truth. So as the world gets darker, it doesn't mean that God is losing control or that he's not sovereign. Okay. This is part of his plan. All things happen on this earth in which he allows to happen. And we have to trust in that sovereignty that he has a plan. But scripture tells us well ahead of time that this type of stuff is going to happen. So this should be no surprise to us. So we have to be grounded in scripture. Folks, we're going to see that sometimes the false teachers or preachers, or sometimes the wicked people in the world, they will thrive while followers of Christ suffer. And that's a sad truth, but that's reality. I could probably ask you guys to raise your hand and almost everybody in this room is going to be able to tell me about something that they've witnessed concerning a person that they know where a wicked person had a better result than that was a believer. So, or that you've heard stories about people that have experienced this type of persecution in their lives. So the best thing that we can do to prepare ourselves is obviously we need to know that we need to be firm and that we're going to be persecuted. We need to be able to have the right mentality for this. We need to be understanding that the world is dark and that this persecution will continue to happen, and that the best answer for us to combat this is the Word of God, is Scripture. The Bible is our guide, and it's the anchor amongst the chaos that's happening in the world. This is how we anchor ourselves in the truth, and we say, yes, there's a lot of things happening in the world that are scary, that are harmful to other people, but God has the answers. Everything in this book, everything in the Bible is the inspired Word of God, and so it's trustworthy. God gave us the Scriptures so that we could be anchored in His truth. It was very deliberate. He did this for a reason, so that this book would continue to speak truths well after He was gone. So believers must remain faithful to the biblical truths that are contained in Scripture. 2 Timothy 3:14, as we read earlier, it says, "Continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them." Well, sometimes, as we talked about last week, sometimes people are taught the wrong things in their life. Maybe they grow up in a different faith. Maybe they grew up somewhere that they weren't hearing the Word of God preached. Maybe they've been told a lot of things that are untrue or lies about God or what Scripture contains, okay? We have to think back to those people that have shared the truth with us and think about it from the perspective of, there are, you know, maybe I don't know everything that's in the Bible, because almost I would say nobody does truly know every single thing, because every time you open the Word, something jumps out at the page or in a different thought, a different way. But think back to the people that have shared the truth with you and look at them and look at their lives and examine them. Is this somebody I can follow? Is there examples? Or maybe that example that they were faithful enough and committed enough to share the Word of God with you, maybe that's enough for you to do the same for others. So be thinking, again, back to your life, how these Scriptures are applicable to you. All Scripture is inspired by God, and it's profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, training, and righteousness, okay? Scripture really equips every single believer for every good work. So I want to spend just a minute here on this particular portion of the Scripture. It says, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. We have to know and be strong in our conviction that this book, this Bible, has an answer to every conflict that we're going to face in our lives. And we have to be diligent to study it and to read it and to learn how to apply it to our lives. I'm going to give you just a couple of practical ideas on how to use the Word on a daily basis so that you can stay fresh and washed in the Word. All right. So again, there's 31 Proverbs. And so every day, if you read one proverb a day, you will always have something, the Word of God, that you can lean back on for that day. There are biblical devotions that are out there. You could read a proverb, you could read a psalm, and you could journal about what you've just read. If anybody's never heard of this, you can pray through the book of Psalms. And so a lot of the petitions in the Psalms, they're applicable to problems that we face in our life. And so you could use the Psalms as an example or a structure for you to format your prayers as you petition the Lord. And you go to the Lord and you ask Him very carefully and very deliberately and with all of your heart. And you just bring it to the Lord and you ask Him, like, Lord, please save me from this, whatever that particular conflict is that you're facing. You can look at the book of Psalms and find examples that apply to your life. That's one practical way. Again, reading a proverb, praying through the book of Psalms, journaling, making sure that we are taking time to reflect on the Word. So if, as you read Scripture, you need to make sure that you take a couple minutes at the end to reflect on what you just read. How does this apply to your life? These are applicable ways for us to take the truths and apply it. In today's world, where everything's electronic, You can also go on to the Google machine. You could ask Google and you could say, what does the Bible say about being a disciple of Christ? And in there, you're going to find that sometimes, with discernment, folks, sometimes you're going to get a, for example, you might get a 100 verses that cover being a disciple of Christ. That may show up as an example for you. So if you're looking for quick ideas of how to solve a problem in your life and you look at it and you ask the Google machine, Google machine, give me biblical references for this problem that I'm facing, that's a quick way to point you in the direction. But that's not the end all be all. Okay, we have to get there. We have to approach that with discernment. We have to pray through it and think about how is this really applicable to me? You can also go to the back of your Bible and look up. There's usually a glossary back there. You know, there might be an example that says, you know, pain. And you can look at that and it'll show you the references that are inside your Bible for that particular thing that you're facing in your life. You don't have to be a Bible scholar to read your Bible every day and to understand it. This is accessible to anybody that it's printed in your language that you can read. And that's why missionaries go out and they challenge themselves and they produce New Testament and Old Testament in the languages of the people groups that they're contacting. Because if you don't have the Word of God to read, how will you ever learn what's contained in the Scriptures, right? So that's why the focus in missions for a majority of missions is to ensure that in the native language of the people group that this been contacted, that there is a translation that they can use and read. All right. So that's the level of importance in today's world. How we're seeking to preach and proclaim the Word of God in the missions work, along with many other things. But God's Word is going to continue to renew our minds, and it's encouragement for us to really resist the cultural pressures that exist out there in the world. Sometimes we can just be bombarded, right? You know, whether that be, you know, people talking negatively about Christians or putting them down or, you know, identifying a particular people group and putting them, you know, in timeout, if you will. We have to understand that there's going to be a lot of cultural pressure that's going to push you and ask you to go against the Word of God, and you have to be mentally prepared for that. Romans 12:2 tells us that do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Again, Scripture tells us very clearly, do not be conformed to this world. Be prepared to fight against the challenges that you're going to face. Be grounded in the Word. Luke 11, verse 28, but he says, on the contrary, blessed are those who hear the Word of God and observe it. So for us that hear the Word of God and or read the Word of God and observe it, we will be blessed. There's an interesting parable that Jesus proclaimed, and it's in Luke. It's this parable about, he says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and acts on them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid a foundation on the rock. And when a flood occurred, the torrent burst against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built. It had a strong foundation. But the one who has heard and has not acted accordingly is like a man who built a house on the ground without any foundation, and the torrent burst against it, and immediately it collapsed, and the ruin of that house was great. So if we are one of those people that have heard the Word of God and we've not acted accordingly, then we are that person who built their house without a strong foundation. And that when challenges face us in life, we're going to be washed away with that storm, with that season of life that we're going to be facing. So I'm here today just to encourage you to continue to dig into the Word of God in the time that you have so that you can be prepared to fight against the challenges that you will face. You know, the Word of God is unchanging. So even though culture changes and the world begins to look differently, the Word does not change. And so the truth is always the truth. And so the price that Jesus paid on the cross is he paid so much for us on that cross. And as believers and as disciples of Christ, when we follow him, we will pay a price. But whatever trials and tribulations that we endure in our life are well worth the pain that we endure in the end. So the loss of the world, like the things of the world we experience, the things that you might lose in this life, maybe a friend, maybe a boyfriend, girlfriend, you know, maybe you have to leave your house behind and travel to a foreign country because you're being obedient to the Lord. He's called you to go do mission work somewhere. Maybe you're traveling from your home across the country to go witness to your own family members. Maybe you left a job because it's drawing you further away from your walk with the Lord. Maybe you're facing those types of trials in your life, but losing those things of the temporal world, the things that are here and temporary, compared to eternity with Christ, those things don't matter. True disciples of Christ, we don't turn back. All right. So Luke 9, verse 62 says, "But Jesus said to him, 'No one, after putting his hand on to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God.'" And so what scripture is telling us here is that when we set forth, when we put our name, we make a profession of faith and we're written into the book of life, and we are calling ourselves followers of Christ, if we have our hand on the plow and we're moving forward, but we continue to look back, we are not fit for the kingdom because we're longing for the life that we've just left. And so he's telling us very clearly, don't long for what you've left behind. Look to the future and to what he's preparing for us in heaven. And these present sufferings that we face is really small compared to the eternal glory that we're going to have later in life. Romans 8:18 says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that's to be revealed to us." Every trial and tribulation that you face in your life today will be nothing compared to the magnificent beauty and glory that we are going to have in eternity. And it's Jesus alone is the only way to salvation. Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." All right, that's John 14:6. So as we've talked about the cost that was paid on the cross and things that we're going to be challenged with in our lifetime, we have to make sure that we are following Christ rightly and that we're seeking to glorify him in all that we do, and that the only way to be in heaven and with God is to seek salvation through Christ. And so as we saw back in chapter 3, verse 17, "So the man of God may be adequate and equipped for every good work." Everything that we have in scripture is applicable to preparing us and equipping us for every good work that God would have planned for us. The cost is great, but Christ is greater than any sort of temptation or cost that we're going to pay in this lifetime in the temporal world. And so, you know, in conclusion, as we get ready to kind of land this plane and draw to the final portion of this message, I have to affirm with you and say that sometimes following Jesus is not easy, because it's going to following Christ and being walking with Christ, we have to be ready to pick up that cross every day. We have to be ready to die to ourselves every day. We don't ever want somebody to make a profession of faith unless they're fully aware of what's required of them after they make that profession. And so that's why when we share the gospel and we're evangelizing, we're making sure that we're talking about sin. We're talking about repentance. We're talking about what this means for them as they proclaim to know and follow the Lord. And so in order for us to be good witnesses, we have to make sure that we encourage those new believers, those new disciples, to stand firm in their beliefs when the world pushes back, and that we need to be trusting God's word when culture says something other than what the Bible says. But following Jesus also means that in him, we have forgiveness, we have new life, that we have the truth, and that we have an eternal hope in him. And so Paul warned Timothy in this chapter that the world's going to be darker, persecution is going to come, deception will increase, but the word of God gives us that wisdom that leads to salvation, as we saw in chapter 3. The truth doesn't change. It's unchanging, right? It's infallible. And the hope that's contained in Scripture, that doesn't change either. Every person must face the truth that's in Scripture. We are all sinners. We all have been separated from God by our sin, and we cannot save ourselves. So that is an acknowledgement that we have to have. We have to be aware that in order for us to be saved, then we must have to seek to do it appropriately. No amount of good works can save you. It doesn't matter if you're a good person. Doesn't matter how much good you do in your lifetime. That doesn't save you. Church attendance, that doesn't save you either. You could come and check a box, but if you've not made a profession of faith, if you've not given your life to the Lord, that's not going to be good enough. Trying harder to be a good person, trying harder, that's not salvific. God sent his son, Jesus, right? He lived the perfect life because we can't. He rose again in victory. And so we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And I praise God every day that that is a truth that I can lean back on and say that of all the bad things that I've done in my life, all of the horrible mistakes that I've made, all of the terrible things that I've said and done, I've been washed by the blood of Christ, and I've been saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Praise God for that. The question really is, are you truly following Christ? Are you picking up your cross daily? Are you standing firm in the Word of God? Do you know God, do you know what his son Jesus Christ did? If you're expecting that you're going to go to heaven, but you don't spend any time getting to know him or grow your relationship with him, you're going to show up and there's going to be questions. You know, you've been a follower. You've said you professed to know me, but you don't know anything about me. You don't study the word. You don't learn about me. You don't walk with me. And so it's important for us to not forget that we have an obligation to study the scriptures and to be seeking the truth that's there. We need to put him first in our life, and we need to make sure that we've repented of our sins. We've turned away from them, truly turned away from them in our life. Folks, there's a point in every believer's life where I truly believe that when that moment comes where you've become aware of your sins, you become aware of your need to repent of your sins, where you need to turn away from them and tell God, I'm sorry for not believing in you, and I'm sorry for what I've done. And you get to that point where you truly believe that the Word of God is real and that the Holy Spirit is working upon you, and you're compelled to make that proclamation, that truth that proclaim with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. When that conversion happens, the beginning of the rest of your life occurs. And yes, it may not be easy every single day, but man, we have a hope that we will be glorified, that we will be made new, that we will never experience the same pains that we experienced in our lives. When that time comes, when the end of times comes, when we are ready to be made new, when Christ returns, we will be ready. And I just ask you that if that's something that you haven't done yet, I encourage you to make a phone call. I encourage you to pick up the phone, reach out to another believer or pastor, and ask those questions. Seek to know him better. Lord, Father, I just ask today that if there's anybody out there that just hasn't made a profession of faith, that they've not understood until today that they were a sinner and that they need a Savior, Father, I just pray for them. I pray that they would be convicted to make that profession of faith today, Father, that they would seek to glorify you in all that they do. Father, those that are believers, I just pray for them. I pray that they wouldn't be a people who would shy away from your word. Father, I pray that they would stand strong in your word and that they would face every challenge and trial or tribulation in their life, Father, that they would stand on the truth and say, I know the Lord. I know what His plan is for me. I know that He is for me. And I know that He has a sovereign plan for my life, even though I may be suffering through these challenges right now. He has a plan, and that I can put my hope and my faith in that. Father, I just pray that we would continue to seek Him daily by spending time in the Word, by praying, by making sure that we are proclaiming the truth when and where we can, Father, and that we may be seeking to glorify the kingdom in all that we do, what we do physically or what we say, whether speak with our mouth, Father, that we would be speaking the word of truth, Father. Please help us to put away our old selves and to be made new today, and that we might be able to follow as closely as we can in order to glorify You, Father. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
As we close part two of this sermon, remember that Paul's charge to Timothy is not limited to pastors or church leaders. It is a call for every believer who desires to remain faithful in a world that increasingly rejects truth. God has not left His people unguarded or unprepared. He has given us His Word, breathed out by Him, fully sufficient for salvation, growth, and endurance. When suffering comes, when false teaching grows louder, and when obedience to Christ becomes costly, Scripture remains firm and unchanging. We are not called to invent new truth, but to remain in the truth once delivered to the saints. Let the Word of God shape your mind, steady your heart, and guide your steps. Christ preserves His people through His Word, and He will be faithful to carry His work in you to completion. We would also like to ask you to partner with us as we reach across the state of Alaska on radio, and Lord willing, TV as well. Everything helps when it comes to making sure more and more people have the chance to hear the gospel of Christ, for there is no other message of salvation on earth. As Christ continues to change lives, we ask you to visit us online at faithrecoveryfellowship.org to help us in the way of donations as we aim to ensure that more people have the opportunity to know Jesus Christ and the power of His resurrection.